Hi everyone, welcome back to Idol Talk, where we explore South Korean pop culture one obsession at a time. My name is Nathan and I'm your host.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley, the editor for Idol Talk, and goodbye to my husband, Chaniel, Park Chaniel. He's leaving me at the end of March for the military.
Boo.
During, right before EXO's 10th anniversary. So
maybe
sad.
That toddler will celebrate.
I know. Why isn't he coming out with like a fucking XOSC album before then, you know?
Maybe he will.
That's true. You don't know.
You don't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Didn't Dio release his like goodbye song the day he left?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like he was gone. He released it like after he was gone.
Yeah. Maybe.
You're right.
Hey everyone, I'm Chris, co-host, and please send prayers my way. I'm currently going through the stages of grief right now. I'm currently in the denial phase. I refuse to believe that GD and Jenny are dating just because he sent me so many messages in my dream.
I don't think they're dating.
Twice.
I really don't think
so,
they're dating.
So since the announcement, there's been like nothing, right?
Okay. But here's the thing with GD is that he, every time he has a girlfriend, they don't really like they show his pictures and they show his evidence, but they don't go like hyper focus and they like come out in public with it. Like they still like respect his privacy, but they're still reporting that, oh, this is his girlfriend and there's evidence. And,
do you think it's because he has a lot of stature and they're fearful of him?
I think that is a big reason why. Because, like, last time he had a girlfriend was that, I think she was a Japanese model. Yeah. And, like, YG never confirmed it. He never said anything. She never said anything. There's plenty of picture evidence. Like, there's picture of him, like, grabbing her and stuff like that. But, like, they never came out with it. So, yeah.
We're just going to have to wait for that story to fully develop.
I think it's fake. I think they're just using each other, like, because GD, shortly after that announced that Dispatch article came out, he posted on his Instagram, like, a Chanel ad.
But he always posts that.
Is he a Chanel model?
He's trying to divert the attention outwards.
Yeah, what was it? He was really close with Karl Lagerfeld.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know the name. Like he's a Chanel ambassador.
Okay,
like that's his big thing. Like he went to Fashion Week. So he always posts that kind of stuff. If it's not Chanel, it's Nike or Peace Minus One.
Yeah, I thought it was some sort of like Jenny, GD, Chanel collaboration. Like hype for that.
No. He never shows his face. It's always what he's wearing, which frustrates me, but whatever. I'm mad at him right now.
Okay, well we'll be sending some positive thoughts your way, Chris.
Thanks.
All right, and we have a special unit appearance again, Idol Talk SG. Gabe, did you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. It's Gabe. I'm back. And let's just take a moment of silence to recognize all of the Spotify playlists that got destroyed in the great Spotify purge of 2021.
Wow.
It's literally half of K-pop.
I know.
So sad.
All of Weekly's discography is just gone. Weekly has been erased.
I'm talking about IU and you are like, bye-bye Weekly. Actually, I feel bad for Weekly too.
I tried listening to Maria just to see if I could and nope.
Oh, it was
they took Hwasa out too?
They took Hwasa and Mamamoo.
Oh my God.
Like the only thing that's left behind of Mamamoo is I think like one of their, I think Windflower, some of the Windflower album.
It's so
and
weird
like the
how
OSTs.
They determine, well, legally something gets determined. Okay, Windflower gets to stay up. You're good.
Yeah.
Sorry.
According to Tableau, I think because he was tweeting about this whole thing, and I think it's like depending if the artists had their songs distributed through Kakao Media.
Mm-hmm.
And so because that whole like agreement between Spotify and Kakao went in like into the dumpster fire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So maybe part of Windflower wasn't distributed by them.
Mm.
Well, how is it that Epic High was able to restore so fast, but some of the other groups have not been able to yet?
I think they did it themselves. Kind of how we upload these episodes. Mm. I think they went on their own and uploaded it themselves because he even said, like, we lost all our streaming numbers.
Is it because they're not really under a label that they need to get?
Oh,
so many...
Epic High? Yeah. No. I think they're under their own thing.
Right. That's what I was going to. They're independent.
Yeah.
So they don't have to go through as much bureaucracy. Right. So we need to get approval upwards. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Big Hit, I want to listen to G-Friend again. So
I know.
Let's get to it.
Oh, seven, that's right, in 17.
17 is still, like, half of 17 stuff is still on Spotify, but like all of G-Friend is just gone. BTS is still there.
Source, whatever, get on it. God. You are a moneymaker. Show some love to your girl groups. Right.
Are you going to get on Apple Music now, or what's up with that? You're just going to stick with Spotify?
I'm not, because I just changed over from Apple Music to Spotify. I've only done it for one full cycle.
So I have 6 months of like free Apple Music, and I'm like, I was saving it for something to happen for me to force myself to go into Apple Music, this but might it's be like. It. I'm so used to Spotify, though. Like, all my playlists are there. It's, like, just starting all over scares me.
I feel that.
Yeah. I'm going to stick it out for another couple weeks and see if they can figure it out. And if not, then I'll probably have to switch over.
I mean, it happened a while ago already. I thought that they would already have their stuff together, but it's not looking good.
Yeah.
We'll see. Well, I think I'm going to stick it out a little longer, too. But, all right, well, let us know in the comments what artists you are missing from the great Spotify purge of 2021. Mm-hmm. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Idle Talk Pod. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to us on Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon, and also Pandora. We did not get purged from the great K-pop. if you have any topics that you'd like us to cover or have any feedback for us, send it to us at our email, idletalkpod@gmail.com. And we also have our content directory, idletalkpod.oo.ai, which has previous episodes categorized and as well as information about us, and it could be found in the description of our episode here. All right, so we're back with another special episode where we're actually going to anticipate a, not new show, but maybe like a continuation of a series that came out. It's a follow-up to Road to Kingdom, and it's Mnet's Kingdom show, which is going to feature a lot of cool, heavy-hitting and popular boy groups, and we're just going to do kind of like a roundup of who these groups are and also kind of anticipating what we expect from the show before it starts airing, I believe next month, correct? In April is when it's going to start. So we wanted to kind of do like a pre-episode. I think Ashley, Gabe, and Chris, all of us here are going to watch the show, and we'll kind of keep the podcast updated with the show as it airs, but we wanted to do a pre-episode. So, Ashley, did you want to give the listeners just an overview of what this quote-unquote Kingdom concept is all about, and also what Road to Kingdom kind of had in store for the other artists that were on that show?
Yeah. So, Road to Kingdom is the male counterpart to the show Queendom, and the concept of the show is where 6 established groups compete to win the kingdom crown. The prequel to the show, to Kingdom, was Road to Kingdom, and that aired in 2020, 2019, I don't remember exactly, but like, it aired a couple years ago, and
was there a live audience or not?
I no, think there was, wasn't. So it might have been. Yeah, it might have been 2020. You're right.
Okay.
Yeah, there.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, it was 2020.
The fact that, but no, but I felt that like 2020 feels like a couple years ago.
For real. So the concept of Road to Kingdom was they took 7 Nugu groups and had them compete for a spot on the future Kingdom show. The rules and the competition, like the competitions for Kingdom aren't announced yet. They're normally announced like right before they're going to do the actual competition. So we can predict what the format may be by looking at Road to Kingdom and Queendom. Mm-hmm. So Road to Kingdom, the prequel of Kingdom, had 7 groups, 4 competitions, and 2 eliminations. The groups that competed on that show were The Boys, Golden Child, One Us, On and Off, Pentagon 2, and Very Very. So Road to Kingdom was very similar to Island for those who watched it. It was each episode, the rankings were decided partially by live voting and partially by like the groups voting on each other. So at the end of each episode, all the groups had different amount of members. I think the group with the least amount of members had 6. So they took 6 members from each group and had them go into booths and like rank all the other group performances. And that accounted for like 30% of the vote. And the other 70% were live voting, but it wasn't really like live voting like Island. What they did is they took 20 people from each, like 20 fans of each group, 20 for like On and Off, 20 for Pentagon, 20 for Very Very, etc. And all of them ranked their top 3. I don't know how exactly they found these 20 fans for each group.
Yeah, who?
Yeah, like
I feel like getting chosen
off the street
out of like a 20 person pool of fandom is.
Yeah, it seems a little bit sus, but like maybe if I looked into the terms and conditions, I could have found something about how it was chosen. But whatever, that's what they did in Road to Kingdom. So okay. 70% of the vote was live voting. The others 30% were like the groups voting on each other. And so they had 4 competitions, 2 groups were voted off, and that's how they decided the live voting.
So at the end of the day, only 2 groups were voted off?
Mm-hmm. Out of the 7. So the final competition.
And then the other 5 were ranked?
Well, so what it was like the first competition had all 7 groups. They were ranked. One person got eliminated. One group got eliminated. They did the second competition. Like all groups are ranked. Someone got eliminated. And then the other 5 just like continued on. There were some. What they did was similar to Island again in the sense where they changed the way that the voting happened. So like, for example, the first competition was like all group voting, like no live audience voting. But then the second competition was added live voting. The third competition was like 2-part where you got extra points if you won 1 part, like regular points another part. It was like complicated. I couldn't really follow what was going on until they started announcing the rankings and I was like, oh, okay, I get it.
That's interesting how they changed, from what you're saying, it sounds like they changed the ranking rules at kind of different points in the show.
They do.
It was different than what Mnet did for Produce because the ranking rules more or less remained the same throughout the entire series.
Right. Yeah, for the most part, it was the same on Road to Kingdom, but there were some, like, twists for voting or for ranking. Yeah.
So I guess the question is, based off of that knowledge, do you think that it's going to be the same rules as Road to Kingdom for the show in April? Do you think it's going to be the same? Do you think it's going to be different?
I think it's going to have the similar format, like the amount of competitions, but I don't think they're going to kick anyone off. I think it's going to be more like Queendom. The way that Oh My Girl explains Queendom is that instead of a competition show, it was a festival
where they all a showcase.
Yeah, like a showcase where they all had
like a end of the year song festival every week.
Yes,
but they're compete in a sense. They're still competing to be the best, right? To like be the kings or whatever.
But you didn't have the fear of getting kicked off. So you had like additional opportunities. Whereas Road to Kingdom was more of a survival show where like if you got kicked off, then you were out. you know, like, so every performance, especially if you were ranked low, they performed as if it was their last.
High pressure.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say about Road to Kingdom is that every performance seems like a mama's performance. It was like that scale of production. So,
and they're all like 5 or 6 minutes too, right?
Yeah, they're really long.
Okay, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So wait, I think I missed it. So okay, these two groups got eliminated. These five groups stayed behind. What happened to those five groups at the end of Road to Kingdom? Like, are they moving on to this kingdom?
So
or
they had a rule where the highest ranked group, like all of the competitions, your score accumulated throughout the show, and the highest ranked group at the end of the show moved on to Kingdom. They also had a twist rule where at the finale, if you scored first place, even if you weren't ranked first, like, accumulatively, you would have gone to the next show.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Like, if you were sixth place in, like, the total rankings, but you won first place in the finale, then you would have gone to the final show. So two groups would have gone on.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to ask next. Okay.
That literally sounds like when you're doing like a, I don't know, you're doing some kind of competition, you're like, okay, the last one is worth 100
points. I know.
I hate that.
I was like, oh. Final
exams.
That's
exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Sounds like final exams.
In the end, the only group that's moving on to Kingdom is the boys.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's a good transition into the show that we're going to be discussing today. So what we're going to do is, since we don't have too much leverage on kind of the style of the show too much yet, we're going to go over the groups that are going to be on Kingdom, talk about some of their prospects, maybe things that they would want to potentially get out of it. We'll also note that the kings of K-pop themselves, the veterans of K-pop, TVXQ, are emceeing the event, Changmin and Yuno. So that'll be super fun. They did a reaction video to like an introduction to all seven groups. So I'll go ahead and talk about just an overview of who these seven groups are, and then I'll dive into the one that I specifically looked into. So the groups that are going to be on Kingdom include B2B, Icon, Stray Kids, SF9, ATEEZ, and The Boys, who, as Ashley mentioned, were the winners of Road to Kingdom. Any thoughts in general about the lineup before we go into each group? I know we had talked about this before, and I think that all of our thoughts about it are kind of null, given the lineup is a lot bigger than we imagined. So I'll leave the floor open for that first.
I'll start. I think that the winner is going...
Wait. We're going to
I know. Okay. Well, I was just going to make a general statement that I think the main competition will happen between three groups, and everyone else are just going to be like supporting acts.
Which three groups?
The most senior ones.
Stray Kids, Icon, ATEEZ.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay. That's not what I was thinking.
What were you thinking?
I don't know. I think to continue... I don't know. I think... I think to go on with my thesis that I left off of last time of, well, I mean, the boys won Road to Kingdom, so I feel like they're in the running for Kingdom itself.
Maybe they're used to it, too. Like, they already understand, like,
that's
how
true.
The competition format will be. So it gives them kind of an advantage over the other groups.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, I don't know. They're also kind of groomed by Mnet a little bit with, well, ATEEZ and Stray Kids were, too, with the little introduction performance of the mamas.
Yeah.
But,
I will say that the boys, they won, like, I haven't finished Road to Kingdom, but they They were first place for the first two competitions. So they're like favorite of the show.
Yeah, I guess I'd. So in terms of the lineup, I'm really surprised that there are some groups on here that are appearing on Kingdom. I think that the lineup for Queendom was pretty strong, but I think that the lineup for Kingdom is stronger.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
I mean, Mamamoo can really hold it on their own, yeah. But I mean, you have Icon. When Icon said that they're going to appear on the show, I thought it was some kind of like April Fool's Day joke, honestly.
I think because, okay, this is what their release just came out this week.
YYY, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Have they had a single comeback since B.I. left?
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think
so. I think they're trying to like leave that in the past and like, you know, start, I don't know. This is some type of like publicity rebranding for them because yeah. It's also their first performance as only what?
Six,
yeah. Okay. As only six members.
Well, since we're kind of getting into the nitty gritty of each group, why don't we just go down the line? We will start with kind of do it by seniority. So I'll go ahead and cover the first group, who is B2B. Their group name stands for Born to Beat, and they're from Cube Entertainment. Their fans are called Melodies. They were originally a seven-member group. There's actually a lot of weird things going on with their lineup in terms of, like, what's happening with the group. So they're now down to, like, a six-member group because one of the members, let me pull up the Ilhoon, no longer is part of the group anymore because he got into like a weed scandal.
Yeah.
Oh.
He did.
In 2020. So he's no longer part of the group. Cube said goodbye to him. The other members include In Kwang, who's the leader. Min Hyuk. Chang Sub, who is kind of known as like the jokester, I feel, of the group. Hyun Sik. And Peniel, who is one that's reoccurring on, what is that radio show that they always do, the podcast that they always do?
On Dive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dive, yeah. So he is a staple on that. And then Sungjae, who is probably best known. Oh, wait, there's two more. Oh, well, Ilhoon is now a former member. So the last one is Sungjae, who is probably best known as the second lead.
One of the second leads in Goblin.
Yeah, so that is the composition of the group. It's weird because also two of the members are currently away in the military. Mm-hmm. So they're now down to four members, not including Sungjae, who was basically, I feel, the most popular one. Kind of like by a lot. Yeah. It's almost like an Astro situation where without Eunwoo, like, it's just different, I feel. So they're down to four. They did a subunit release, I believe, sometime last year. They did a mini album.
Yep.
But yeah, the members are kind of in and out right now. They're in a weird transition phase. Not all of them are there. They just lost one. They debuted in 2012.
Oh my god.
So that is a hell of a long time ago. Their 10th year anniversary is almost approaching. They have 10 mini albums.
Oof.
Oh my god.
So it's not like they, you know, are little rookies here. They've been staples of the industry for a really long time. And then I'll transition to some of the strengths that I think that really sets them apart from other groups. We had talked a little bit about this before the recording started. They aren't known as like a traditional K-pop boy group in the sense that they do pop songs and they dance. They're actually more known as vocal, I want to say like pop ballady releases that actually they do as title tracks. So a lot of their songs are slow songs, ones that don't have a lot of choreography, or ones that have very simple choreography. So
interesting.
I mean, it seemed like, so we talk a lot about like groups that could, that do the traditional style, but also can do ballads. Like they almost like strictly only do that and have occupied that place in K-pop for a really long time. Because no one else is doing it because it's not quote unquote as
flashy.
I don't know what you want to say. Flashy, yeah. Right? And B2B like almost never felt the pressure or never felt the need in terms of their marketing to go down that route. So in that case, I commend them. But I guess this brings me to what do I think they want to get out of Kingdom? I don't know. Because like I watched the boys do a cover of Danger, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I imagine mm-hmm. that the show is the style of the show, yeah. Right? So this I feel like is gonna be very out of their element, like what a lot of you said before we started recording. So it's like, okay, do they want to use the platform to try to do these things now, 10 years in, maybe?
No.
But I don't know. That is what they are saying that A-Pink kind of did, maybe like 2 years ago. They started rebranding to like a more mature dark side, quote unquote dark side of them. So I was like, okay, maybe that's what B2B wants to do. But they've really held this portion of the K-pop industry as like someone that would really, as a group that would really kind of not buy into the mainstream. So I think maybe they're just using it as kind of like a reboot, like
a launching pad.
I can see that.
Yeah. So like a 10th anniversary kind of thing. We're not done. We're not over. We want to continue. I would say it's something similar to what Newest did on Produce. But even so, like, Newest wasn't as established and as senior as what B2B is right now going into a show like this. So, I don't know. Thoughts on B2B?
I think they're going to struggle, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Because
like, they're up against so many people who have, like, such great and charismatic dancing and performances
mm-hmm.
that, like, there's only so much you can do, like, just on stage singing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, especially this is K-pop, right?
Yeah.
So that's not the majority of what the fans are looking for, even though I'm a big proponent of that type of music.
Mm-hmm.
The most of the fans are not looking for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In watching Road to Kingdom, I noticed that the performances that ranked lowest were the ones that were not as, like,
flashy.
Yeah, flashy.
Of course.
Golden Childs was the first group to be eliminated, and their performances were very, like, one of them, the performance that got them eliminated, was, like a upbeat contemporary dance, like, modern dance, and where their theme was, like, swans, like, they were swans.
Okay.
So imagine that. That still had a lot of choreography and it had a theme, right. But they were ranked the lowest.
Yeah, so I don't know. Well, maybe since they're on the show now, maybe Mnet will have a week where they say we're just going to do standing and singing. Actually, I would like to see that.
Oh my god, no!
I could see that happening.
I would like to see that. Because if groups that traditionally can't do that are trying to show new sides of themselves...
Holy shit.
Then
that's that'd true. Be nice.
I haven't watched a show fully on Mnet since Produce. They had those in
that
the formation
would be cool.
of... They had those in the formation of 101 IOI... Eyes One. So, I mean, maybe.
That would be really bad for Stray Kids if that happened.
I know, Stray Kids.
They don't have...
Well...
Oh, God.
Well, also, I think something that B2B will have to wrestle with also is that this idea of flashiness is a lot easier when your groups are more dance crew-y.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They legitimately can't do that as a four-person group.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what the Changmin from TVXQ was saying, how like the boys has 11 people, and so there's a lot of like choreography
they can do more with it.
Possibilities, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like people would eat up like a resonance on this type of show because people like flashy, right?
Right.
Hard to do resonance with four people. So I don't know. I think that they're going to benefit out of being on the show. I think it took a lot of courage for them to say, hey, we're going to be on it as like a 10-person, I mean, as a 10-year veteran. So I really hope that something pays off for them.
For real.
Yeah.
But anyways, we'll return to B2B as the conversation goes along. But Chris, did you want to go over your group?
Yes. So I am going over Icon. So they are a group by YG Entertainment. They are originally 7 members, now 6 is how what we said earlier. BI left in, I believe, 2019. Mm-hmm. They consist of currently Jinhwan, Yoonhyung, Bobby, Donghyuk, Jun or Juni, and Chanwoo. They debuted in 2015. And here's the fun part about them. Their name, Icon, I lost my source where I found it, but it was like because they're the Icon star and then the K is for Korea.
Oh.
The Icon of Korea or something like
that.
Cute. So that K, the capital letter K, is meant to be for Korea.
That's interesting.
Here's the next interesting part. They were primarily formed through a competition
mm-hmm.
show.
Mm-hmm.
So they were originally introduced in the reality survival show Win, Who Is Next, as Team B. And then the final membership went on to the 2014 show Mix and Match. I don't know if it was like connected to each other or anything like that. And so that's how we got this formation. So kind of going into why
they weren't like, actually the winners of their survival show.
Right.
Winner was.
Right. Right. Yeah, and that's what I was going to say too, is that Winner was actually in the show with them. I find it interesting though that they were primarily like, you know, formed through a reality show and they're entering this type of reality competition show.
Like it's a redo almost.
Yeah. And so, I mean, maybe it goes back to what we were saying about the boys, is that maybe that kind of gives them a type of advantage.
Right.
Maybe it's what's the word, guaranteed to give us that like flashy stage performances.
Does anyone know what channel the YG show was on back in 2014?
No.
Was it on Mnet? That would be interesting to know if they were on the same channels. But anyways, go.
Hold please. I'm looking.
Because then there, no, I mean, I always think about the politics behind it, right? So it's like, if they aired on Mnet before and they're doing it again on Mnet, I think that says something. But anyways.
Never mind. I thought I had it, but I don't. So yeah, they don't have many albums. I only see 2 albums in their discography. 1 Japanese album that came out in 2019. I mean,
they probably have some minis, because sometimes the minis don't show up on the full
thing. Right. Maybe.
Yeah. They have a.
Yeah. It seems like they should have a lot more than just 2 albums.
I mean, they're also from YG, so it wouldn't be surprising if they didn't have very many.
That being said, I was trying to find their introductory performance because I've never really seen an Icon performance. I only, you know, the only real Icon song that I've listened to is Love Scenario. And so I watched the performance that TVXQ reacted to in that one like promo video, and it was I found a lot of like Big Bang influence in their style of music, which is what I also find in Winner. So I just see like this whole thing, like YG is just trying to like recreate their money machine that is Big Bang.
Yeah.
Like, Winner, I mean, apart from Love Scenario, which was a huge hit for them, which is why I was so confused as to why They're going on the show because they haven't released that much after Love Scenario. So if you were like, oh, we're kind of going through a lull right now. It's like, I mean, are you? You haven't
They've fallen from grace.
They have.
Well, since so the scandal, I guess.
Yeah. And that just came to light, like, as we were talking about it. I think it is that they're trying to, like, A, now they're performing with six members instead of seven. So it's a completely new rebrand, mm-hmm. completely new image. And, you know, they're just trying to erase the past. They're trying to move on from B.I. leaving. Fun fact, Bobby actually just, like, announced something on his Twitter. I think he's doing, like, an emailing list or something like that where he can connect with fans. I skimmed through it as I was going through my Twitter feed. But he's, like, just launched something.
Is he going to have a weekly newsletter of updates? How's the writing going? How's the production going?
Right.
Daily diaries on Kingdom.
So yeah, what are they gonna get out of this? You know, a brand new image. They have a new comeback that is not quite what I thought it would be, but it's still, you know, it's a nice song. I still like it. Nathan and I were saying that it's kind of breakup-y. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's just a new image, and you know, maybe it's also another launch pad for them.
Yeah.
I
like exposure.
And I was gonna say that prior to Love Scenario, I think this was like had to be like towards the beginning of their debut, was when I started getting into K-pop, and they were like known as like the little kids that were not little kids, but they were the young group that was kind of like supposed to be the next big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they had Dumb and Dumber, they had Rhythm Ta, they had a lot of huge hits that, like, even as someone that doesn't jive with that genre of music, I was still, that was, like, constantly played when I was, like, younger in my K-pop career or whatever. So I'm thinking that they, if I'm an employee at YG, I'm gonna tell them to go back to their Big Bang sound.
The Big Bang influence.
Yeah.
That's the money machine for YG. Like, to this day, it's still the money machine.
So, it'll be interesting to see if they go with the Love Scenario path, which was a huge hit, or the Big Bang path, which was, I think, more consistent for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, any other thoughts on Icon?
So on Road to Kingdom, one of the competitions was My Song, where all of the groups had to perform, like, one of their songs. Some groups did, like, a mashup of a couple songs. Some groups did, like totally different versions of their songs, like remixes. So if they were to do that in Kingdom, I would hope that Icon does Love Scenario.
Yeah. I think they will. It's pretty recent.
They gotta do like freaking 300. Is it at 300 million views? 400 million views? They gotta do it.
I know.
Yeah, they have to do it.
Gotta do it. All right. Okay. Let's go ahead and continue onward. Ashley's gonna round up two of them for us.
Okay. So the first one is SF9. They debuted on October 5th. 2016 under FNC Entertainment, and there are 9 members: Youngbin, Insung, Jaehyun, Daewon, Zuho, Rowan, Yu Taeyang, Huiyoung, and Chani.
We know Chani.
Yeah. They are, we love Chani. They're known for acting and I think vocals. I don't know very much about SF9 outside of Good Guy, which I know is a bop.
Yeah.
And I'm honestly surprised that they are considered like kings, like kingdom contenders, because I feel like they're not like what. Maybe I'm just like ignorant to SF9, but outside of Good Guy, Bad Guy, whatever that song is, I don't know anything about them.
Well, that was their, like, one big release that got them, like, famous, pretty much.
Their first win.
Or the most recognition.
Yeah. They're mostly known for having actors. So Rowan is like a huge K-drama actor, and Chani was in Sky Castle. So I think their strengths are going to be acting, which is huge in these performances because they all have a theme and they all are like, production-wise, they're like musicals. So acting is going to be huge in the performances. They can sing, they can dance, and can they rap?
I think they're...
Do they have rappers?
I don't know.
I'm sure.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think that they are definitely going to be the underdogs of the show.
Yeah.
That might be an understatement.
Yeah. I don't know how...
they aren't a senior group, and they also weren't in the promos for Kingdom, which is where, you, like, AT's Stray Kids and the boys were.
True.
So they're kind of in this weird limbo state of not being included in either one of those two categories.
Right.
It feels like they were just kind of filler for, like, Mnet to, like, complete the lineup almost.
Well, I mean, following up on...
Yeah,
go ahead, Chris.
Maybe it's their acting connections because they have to have some type of fandom from, like, whatever dramas or shows that they were in. So maybe it's them bringing in that audience, maybe. Too.
Yeah, it's interesting to... I think with them, I mean, if they're the lesser known of all the groups, I think being on this show can only help them.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Like,
help them strive.
The more exposure, the better. And I hope that through this, at least for me personally, I hope to know more of the SF9 members other than the Sky Castle boy.
Jenny.
Yeah.
Who is, I think, all we know at this point. So anyways, Ashley, you got another one, right?
So the second group I'm covering are my favorites to win, Stray Kids. I've covered them many times on this podcast, so I'll just quickly go over them. They debuted in March 2018. They're from JYP, and there's 8 members. What I think their strengths are rap, dance, and musical composition. So on Road to Kingdom, something that they featured a lot for Pentagon and ONF is their ability to have really good arrangements. So I think with Sriracha in Stray Kids, they'll have some good arrangements. And
so with the arrangements, do you mean that they kind of take their own spin on covers, is that
right? So they'll for example, Pentagon did a Pentagon and On and Off did an arrangement of Kill This Love that was zombie themed, so they made it really dark. They On and Off did an arrangement of Everybody by SHINee that was really good. They made that one dark as well. I think Pentagon did an arrangement of Monsta X Follow that was Egyptian sounding. So if you can have a good arrangement, it will it will also have a good theme, and I think that will help their performance.
So does production not help them with those arrangements?
No, production does. But I think they just featured that a lot because they did it themselves. What I think Stray Kids' weaknesses are going to be, and I think this, these may be the reason why they lose the show, is they don't have a vocal line, and I don't think any of them could act. they have charisma. They have charisma, and they have stage presence.
They have stage
presence. But,
they have stage presence.
But they have, a lot of this is acting. You know, it's a musical. There was a performance on Road to Kingdom where they, I think it was very, very that pretended they were in like a nightmare. There were like evil spirits trying to like get into this boy.
Getting into like this weird theater.
I know,
like,
it theater is theater. Stuff. It's really like yeah. theater.
I feel like it's more than just like a like performance, like yeah. K-pop no, it show. Is.
It's literally like, it's like, you know how Mamamoo at the end of the year award shows last year did, what was their hit song? Was it like Go-Go Baby or like Hip? Yeah, they did like multiple yeah. versions of Hip. It's yeah. like that.
Every week.
Every week.
Okay.
So I worry for Stray Kids, honestly. It's the vocal line, really, though. Mm-hmm. But they have performance down, so maybe that can carry them. We'll see.
They do. They have the. They appeal most, I think, out of all these to the flashy.
Yes.
Stands. The people that like bright lights and need indicators of that.
Yeah.
So I think that they have an advantage. And also, I think out of all of the groups, they probably most easily garner views.
Well, if they do live voting like they did on Road to Kingdom, where they just pick 20 like fans of each group, then popularity is not going to help them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because it's constant.
Yeah, and it's like the amount of Stray Kids supporters are fixed.
Mm. Okay. I don't want to get into this in too much into the weeds, but I'm reading this article right now as we speak about Stray Kids, and I just sent it into the group chat. I don't want to get too much into the politics of whether or not we think that this is true or false in terms of the bullying, so let's not talk about that. But the article says that as we speak about Stray Kids, they are not going to let Hyunjin on the show. And that they are proceeding wow. with
Are you fucking kidding me?
Him. Okay.
Breaking news. You heard it here first.
I mean, listeners. I had been talking to Gabe about this for like the last 2 weeks, and all the signs were pointing to this. Because he basically went through like everything that happened to Irene was like happening to him in real time. So Irene had been kind of shut out a little bit for a little while in her like beauty ads and like her CFs and all of that. Mm-hmm. So it does seem, and that was happening to Hyunjin too. So it does seem like this is not out of the blue.
But Irene didn't go on an apology tour.
She didn't.
Yeah.
Which I think was a good move for her. Like, especially if there's so many.
Well, you also have to think about the accusations were very different.
Yeah.
Irene's accusations was that her attitude was bad. That's other true. Accusations at least were a little bit stronger.
Well,
I don't know what the right word to say is.
Well, yeah. So I heard, like, I was watching this video online about school violence in, or bullying in Korea, and bullying, like, the word, the Korean word that they use.
Oh, is it different?
Yeah, so in America, bullying has, like, its own word. Like, we say the word bullying. But in Korea, they mm-hmm. have the Korean word, and it, like, directly translates to school violence, which gives you...
It's not the same
yeah, as it's not the bullying. Same as bullying. Like, it puts a lot more weight onto what they're what's happening, and, like... They describe school violence and, like, the way that he's acting or, like, how idols are acting when they act this way is, like a shun against someone's dignity, you know?
It sounds physical, like, way more physical, the way that they describe school yeah, violence.
They take it way more seriously.
Well, apparently it is more widespread. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen in American schools, which it does. Yeah. Been there.
No, yeah.
But
it 100% does.
It does seem like it's... Anyways, we're not there to talk about that. That is for a whole nother episode. But what I am reporting is that some news articles are now showing that Hyunjin will no longer
this
be...
This is fucking bullshit.
At least in the... At least in the beginning of this recording, which apparently they're doing today, as we're saying this, I think that might change things for Stray Kids, not knowing a lot about them. But Ashley, I'll leave that to you.
What role did Hyunjin have in Stray Kids?
Literally.
He's the flashy of the flashy.
Yeah, he's the visual. And he's the main dancer. He's not the main rapper. Like, he literally, he's like face and center of the group.
Like, he's the MC. He's, well, he does have MC privileges on the show. Or,
no, he's not anymore. He's not the MC anymore.
Show. Oh, he's not there anymore.
Yeah, I think I saw that too.
They got replaced with NCT Treasure.
Sungchan is there. His shiny heels. Oh, I love that.
Oh, wait, no. He's still on the show. He's still on the show. He got those are the replacements for Jaehyun's Inkigayo.
Oh, that's Inkigayo. Sorry. Oh, I'm getting them all mixed up.
So,
okay.
Hyunjin still has a job there.
Yeah, Hyunjin has that job with Chani.
Yeah, he does. That's correct. Okay. Like, anyway.
They're still employed. Okay, well, that throws another question mark into Stray Kids and even they're not even talking about winning yet, just what they're going to... So they're now down to what?
Five?
Seven.
Wait, yeah, you're right. Seven.
Seven, okay.
They can't keep losing people like this.
I know.
Dang.
All right. We will. If there's any other updates while we're recording, we will say them in live time. So, all right, Gabe. You got the last two for us.
All right. So I'm covering the boys and ATs. So let's start with the boys. So they debuted in December 2017. And they are an 11-member group from Kraker Entertainment, so kind of a not as well-known company. And their members are Sangyeon, Jacob, Younghoon, Hyunjae, Juyeon, Kevin, Nu, Q, Juhanyeon, Sunwoo, and Eric. So there's a lot of them. And so
11 of them, you said?
Yeah, there's 11. And so the things that I found were notable about the boys is that they kind of underwent a concept change in 2020. So they used to do more of like a cute concept before that.
Hmm.
And then they switched to something more similar to what like Stray Kids and ATs do, with kind of like a more aggressive like concept. And that has kind of coincided with their rise in popularity. So their latest comeback got 4 wins and they sold over 300,000 albums.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So from a small company, that's really good.
Was this the Stealer, or was it one after? Okay, the Stealer was a bop. Yeah.
Yeah. And so before that, they had been getting about 100,000 to 110,000 album sales for each of their comebacks. So they've had a really big rise in popularity. And then after winning Road to Kingdom, I think that also helped catapult them even more. So they're definitely on the up and up.
Gabe, I know that you are a Dobby.
Yes.
And and so do you attribute the change in concept to their rise in popularity, or is that kind of like a confounder? Were they already going upwards and that's just what the fans kind of accepted?
Well, like, they were already
was the trend already going upwards, or is it actually the change in concept that motivated the shift in popularity?
So they were already kind of trending up, but not to the point of like 300,000 album sales.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, so before you think the concept,
that then there's an argument that could be made about the concept change then.
Yeah, I think the concept change definitely helped them, because like, you can only do cute boy concept for so long until you start to get older and like your fans get older and everything. So I think they were just adjusting to their fan base. Yeah, and so they've got a lot more international fans. And I think they're one of the favorites to win Kingdom, honestly, because they have really strong dancing, really strong performance potential. Like, I watched their last stage from Road to Kingdom, and there's this move at the very end of the performance where the backup dancers, like, throw Juyeon up onto this platform. They like literally throw him up and then he like lands and then that's the ending pose.
Oh wow.
So
damn.
I was like, okay, like B2B is not gonna be able to do that. They're like 30.
Yeah. That was something on Road to Kingdom that set them apart. Because they have so many members and they're so athletic, they did all of their own stunts. There were some performances like Danger where they didn't have any backup dancers and everything they were doing themselves. Which is what like impressed the other groups so much.
Are they the ones in the TVXQ reaction video where they were like someone was like running on top of the members that were like
running over.
That's the Danger performance,
Oh. And Changmin was very impressed.
Yeah.
So therefore I was impressed.
Yeah.
And Changmin, there's also so Q in The Boys, his real name is Changmin.
And Yeah.
Like TVXQ, Changmin was like, oh, Changmin. And they look really similar too, which is
both very cute.
It was funny because he was like, they're going to be my favorite. And then like one of the PD nims were like, there's a Changmin in, I think it was Stray Kids?
There's a Yudo in ATEEZ, I think he said.
There's another,
Okay, that's what it is. So then, yeah, it was funny.
So are they going to build from their popularity? What's going to happen to them? They're facing a whole new crop of people, though. I mean,
yeah. I mean, if the voting system is anything like it was before, where you have to impress your fellow contestants, I think The Boys are going to have a really good chance to win.
I think so.
You know, I think it's really interesting that you bring that up, because if I am a well-established group. This is me thinking very politically here. I am not going to pick someone, even if I liked their performance the most, that has a large fan base too. Like if I'm Icon and I have one of the biggest fan bases, I'm not going to pick the second biggest fan base. I'm going to go with a smaller one that is nonpartisan. So like I'll go for The Boys.
But do you think do you think they're taking these things into account? Because like, or are they like genuinely reacting to the performance?
Maybe it's just me, but I think it'd be smart for them to take those things into consideration.
Like a JYP YG alliance where they always vote for each other.
Well, I'm saying that
I say that
would be unlikely given that they're too big. But that would work too if you can solidify one vote. I don't know how this is going to go.
I will say that on Road to Kingdom, it did seem genuine. Like they were genuinely voting for groups they thought were really good. Okay. But I think there's that's probably how
it's going to go Gabe's route. What Gabe says is that they're going to be genuine and react to their performances.
Yeah, I don't think the idols are caught up in like the whole politics part of it as much as the fans are, but
I think is politics, and where the show is portraying them as genuine.
That's what I think. I hope that you're right. I think that I'm really looking forward to the show. I just wish that it wasn't on Mnet because it makes me not want to watch it as much, because I know that they're invested. They have so many stakeholders.
That's true.
And they have a history of like not being even-handed and transparent.
Exactly. So it's like, what's gonna happen? I don't know. I'm still gonna watch the show.
Well, they have to generate some controversy to get people to like talk about it, you know, like that's part of the shock value that they are trying to get. Yeah.
All right.
Anyways,
last but not least, we got ATEEZ, right?
Yes. So ATEEZ, they debuted in October 2018. They have 8 members. And let's see. What are the names? We have Hongjoom, Songhwa, Yunho, Yosang, San, Mingi, Wooyoung, and Jongho. And so right now, Mingi is actually on hiatus, and he's their main rapper, I think. And he's on hiatus for health reasons of some sort. So I don't know if he's going to be in Kingdom or not. It's still kind of up in the air as to what I've seen on Twitter and Reddit. But ATEEZ, I think, was really notable in their rookie years because they started with this treasure map and pirate concept, which Ashley, I know, hated it.
Casey liked it.
Casey loved it.
Casey's an 80s stan. What is the fandom name?
So their fandom name is Atini, which is a combination of ATs and Destiny. Yeah, it's like so like cringy, but also predictable, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So over this
Casey would like things like that.
Yeah. So over the treasure and pirate concept, they had 5 releases. And for a lot of them, they did like choreography and promotions for 2 to 3 songs for each one. So they have been working really hard to promote their stuff. And in 2020, they became a 1 million album seller, designated by Gaon. And yeah, so they're like, impressive. I think they're only the second Gen 4 group to make it to the 1 million album mark. So
like this is as a everything sold, right?
Yeah, like all their albums together is over a
Who's
1 million.
Who's the first one?
Okay.
Stray Kids?
I don't know. I didn't check the reference. Oh. But
well, it also depends on how you're conceptualizing it, because usually 1 million sellers means 1 album.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so this is like all their albums.
Oh. Yeah, this is okay, like everything.
It. Yeah. And so their latest comeback, which actually was last week, they sold over 300,000 albums in 1 week.
Wow.
So, yeah. Oh, wow. So their fan base is growing a lot also. And things I think the ATs really has going for them is they also have really strong choreo.
Yes.
And their releases are super consistently good. Like, I look back at their discography and there's not really any comebacks that are flops. So,
right.
I think they're just a really consistent
group. They've come back so many times during 1 year. I feel like they haven't stopped.
Like the comeback before this one, that album, they released 2 tracks. They promoted 2 tracks from that album and their promotions lasted for like almost 2 months.
That's a long time.
Yeah. So they work really hard. Yeah. And
I regret saying this, so I apologize to the Atenies. When we were at Super M, I saw that they were also going to do a Forum concert, and I just didn't know how big the fandom was at that point. So yeah. They have also did that one get canceled though because of COVID? It might have.
I think it did. Yeah, I think it did.
Yeah, but I remember they were advertising, and I was like, oh, I didn't know that they were Forum level.
Well, they may be Forum level internationally, but not domestically.
I think so.
Because
I think so, Gabe.
The same could be said about Stray Kids. But the Stray Kids aren't even Forum level.
I know, I was going to say, Stray Kids could have been Forum level, though, no. I think.
All right. Maybe.
Pre-COVID times.
Got 7.
The thing about ATs is the vocals, I don't know, it's like kind of questionable. Because they have one really good vocalist, Jong Ho, and he is really good at just like belting high notes. He can sing super loud, super high. He has a really like powerful voice. I'll be excited to see what kind of vocal stuff he can pull off. But other than that, they're pretty much a dance crew type Stray Kids-y group.
That's what I feel like a lot of the newer generation groups are, a little bit more dance crew-y, performance-y.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that they kind of fall into a very similar vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So my question about Kingdom is that with all of this, given the strengths that we're talking about, is it to secure a base or is it to expand a base?
I think it's to expand.
Yeah.
100%.
So then do you show something different or do you go with what you know? Because if the goal is to expand, then I know that you could do dance crew.
It needs to be a mix of both. Because obviously they got to where they are because of what they know. You know, like they already have that base fan base because of what they already have done, but they do need to appeal to the other side, like, that hasn't seen them before.
And I think they could do that with, like, remixes of covers.
Mm. Yeah.
I think it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, final question is... It's so hard to answer this because we don't know what the criteria is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the criteria really dictates.
Okay, so should we just hold off on that question then of who we think is going to win? Or does the criteria actually not matter all that much?
Or who do we want to win?
Okay, who do we want to win? Really,
let's say, okay, what about there. who we want to win, what our heart says versus what our head says?
Okay. Okay.
Okay, let's go with, you want to go with heart first or you want to go with head first?
Heart.
Heart.
Okay,
heart.
Where does your heart lie? I'm going to go around the Zoom boxes here.
TVXQ.
Let's
start with Chris.
Oh, wait, I'm there. Well, I think, Chris, you bring up a great point. Because I think TVXQ is benefiting 100%. From this, too. Like I said, you know, when you start out as a rookie group, you rely on your seniors. But when you become older, you rely on your right? So I think that that's actually a really great strategy that TVXQ decided to do this. That's what BoA did with 101. And then she released a single right after the season ended and people were listening to it.
Oh, interesting.
So it looks like we're going to get a TVXQ comeback.
I will almost put money on the fact, within 1 month, I think you're going to get.
Oh my God.
Intro, I think they will. They're going to do something.
Yeah.
Did BoA perform out on Produce?
No, but she performed at the Mamas that year with her new hit.
Okay. Yeah.
And she did a collab with the 101 members, one of them.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Okay, actually, go ahead. Your heart, says what?
My heart obviously says Stray Kids, but my head is 80s.
Huh. Interesting.
They can sing, they can rap, and they can dance and have charisma. And they have storytelling with the pirate theme.
Okay. Okay, Gabe?
So, my heart says the boys. And my head says SF9.
What?
Because I just cannot see one of these rookie groups winning the whole thing when you have such senior people.
Wait.
And then, what?
Wait, I'm confused. Wait, your head meaning that it's your logical choice to win.
Yes, like logically, I think SF9 has a good chance.
But then how would that reasoning make sense if you said that, like, SF9 can't win against senior groups, but you're picking SF9?
Well, because they're, like, more senior than the like, really rookie groups, but they're not senior.
Are they?
Like,
they're 2016. Yeah. They're as old as Icon.
Yeah, it's like a year.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even associate those two together. Okay.
And, like, just based on what I've seen, because I looked at the voting numbers for the last day of pre-voting, and I think SF9 was, like, number 3 or 2.
So they were doing pretty well.
Yeah. So, like, they were doing well in, like, the voting, and, like, they have good actors and performance stuff, and they're versatile, that's what I'm saying. Like, whereas Stray Kids, like, if there's a singing stage where, like, you just stand and sing,
oh, like, God help them,
who's gonna sing? No one.
Han.
Like, Sungmin's just gonna sing the whole thing.
Han is gonna rap and sing and dance.
Well, who's their leader? He sings a lot.
Bing Chan?
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, I think SF9, because they're versatile and they have everything that could put together a win.
Okay.
Honestly, I have no idea what's going to happen. Like, I think I know my heart says, like, I don't even know.
You're not invested in any of them.
Not that. I don't... I like what B2B does.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I liked how they've resisted a lot of the trends. Because a lot of it has been... just... What is it? Like, who can be the most aggressive? I think.
Yeah.
And I personally don't like how the direction is going towards that. So I like what B2B is doing. So I guess my heart says B2B, but I also really like Icon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I think my head says Icon. Because they're the most senior group. And they're also pretty versatile. I think that, let's just go with that. My mind will probably change as we think about the criteria and such. But in any case, all right. Thanks all for participating in this discussion about Kingdom. We're looking forward to it, and we hope that all the listeners are as well. Let us know which groups you are most excited about. We are on Instagram and Twitter at IdolTalkPod. And we look forward to engaging with you in a next episode. So until next time, we'll talk to y'all later. Bye.
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 Bye.